A bit, but so many jobs bloodbath horror stories around a plan to grow staff. And I mean, it's really nice to see some people are planning to grow, especially when you look at Capitec, and they are hiring what they call employees of the future. Khairi Fouri, welcome to the Money Show this evening. What does an employee of the future look like? You're going around hiring teenagers or what?
Good evening, Bruce. No, I think we're just referring to where the world is going. So it's people that's in the digital space, on the new payment space, and then data. You know, if we look at AI and machine learning, it's all those type of jobs that we believe is critical to go forward. And those are the people of the future that we're looking for.
And it's, again, encouraging because every year you do expand your branch network. You need more staff for those branches and to service the additional 150,000, 200,000 customers that you're expanding by every month. But these are high-skilled jobs. Are these sort of people available to you in South Africa? It's quite a tech skills short at the moment, it would seem.
Yeah, it's actually a bit sad because just before the unrest, we were actually looking for close to 600 people. And due to the unrest, there's quite a few of our branches that's actually closed. And we're redeploying staff until the branches bring big bolt. But I think that's the challenge in South Africa because, like you say, it's highly skilled people. It's people that has got specific skills in specific areas. And that's why we started the whole campaign. We believe there is people in South Africa, especially young people that we can appoint and we can develop them to senior people in the next 5 to 6 years.
But it is, I mean, it is devastating, isn't it? I mean, just the huge knock-on effects of the unrest and the huge damage that was done. How much of your branch network was affected directly from the rioting, Khairi?
Yeah, I think, Bruce, it's always, you know, it's like the last 2 weeks, you know, the one thing is you spend all your energy trying to get your staff safe and then to understand what's happening and then to say, how do you recover? And it's actually, for me, that's negative energy because I like to spend my energy on positive things. We've spent a lot of time now on how do you change the behavior of the clients to digital. We've lost close to 80 branches, which 11 hasn't been badly damaged, but has been damaged. So we're looking at plus minus 70 that's been destroyed. So we're going to need to rebuild those branches. And then we're looking at another 100-150 ATMs on top of it. So it's got a big effect.
Yeah, it has a big effect. And of course, thank you, Khairi Fouri. I was hoping for a nice upside story. But yeah, half the number of jobs being created as a result of the trashing of parts of KZN and Gauteng last week. That's the consequence of that kind of behavior. 70 branches destroyed. Jacques Salier, Chief Executive of FNB. Before we talk about your relief packages that you're announcing today, Jacques Salier, your branch infrastructure also would have been affected very negatively in the areas that did come under attack recently.
So, Bruce, and thanks for the listeners. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we lost, people still counting, you know, whether it's really totally done, totally destroyed or partially destroyed. So somewhere between 30 and 40 branches really affected and probably 270 or 300 ATMs or devices affected. But, you know, on top of that, you know, terminals, speed point terminals at the shops and retailers. And then reality is that actually our loss is nothing compared to many of those people have lost everything on the ground. You know, there's some real sad stories, but we somehow need to find our rhythm again and rebuild and restock. You know, that's almost like that's the story out here.
Will you be reopening all of the 30 or 40 branches that were damaged, replacing all of the 300 ATMs that were damaged, or are you going to be a bit more circumspect?
No, Bruce. I mean, 183 years of a business in the country. We know how important those local market positions are for stability and for trust in the area. So, you know, to put a branch down in a little community, that's critical. But you can see how the communities all want us back. And as an industry, actually, we committed to put as much back as we possibly can. You know, once you got ATM infrastructure and branch infrastructure right, it says so much about the stability of a little community and so critical for the businesses to get to see us on the ground. And so we committed to roll out and rebuild and repair as fast as we can. It's going to take a bit longer on some of the bigger branches, but ATMs are already out there. Big efforts in mobile branches, mobile ATMs, and really to restock and reset up those communities. Speed point terminals on the counters, brand new ones. See how fast we can do those. You know, the shops open to get trade going, to get especially social grants coming in every month, to make sure that the people in the communities can access the cash.
That is absolutely critical. And of course, you were saying how, yes, you are negatively affected, 30, 40 branches, 300 ATMs, the speed points, all of that infrastructure damage. But you do have the balance sheet to carry you through. You will have the insurances to carry you through. You may have had greater cover than Sasria was willing to provide. Sasria provides the first 500 million. And then if you can buy another billion rands worth of cover from Sasria and even more internationally. So, I mean, it's you know, you will be well insured. It is the mom and pop shops. It's the individuals and the hustlers, people who, you know, this was make or break for them, their families, and set up these tiny enterprises, didn't have the bucks for insurance, and simply have been caught horribly short. Are you able to cut any slack when it comes to loans, when it comes to the sort of pressure that many of those people must be feeling a huge amount of right now?
Yeah, Bruce, you're so right. You know, many people have actually done magic, you know, just to get to through 2019. You know, where before pandemic, there was already a big economic challenge. And then on top of that, 2020 happened and the pandemic hit them. And then on top of that now, you know, this came with them. So there's an appreciation for an incredible amount of magic that people have made against all odds to keep their little businesses going and, you know, keep their families going, and have made plan A, plan B, plan C. I don't know where they are, plan D and Z already. But I think our job now is to look forward. You know, it is what it is. So we've got our clients all properly sort of researched and categorized. People we can easily help, people we can't help immediately. We have to wait for some insurance. People we need to give some payment relief to. Some need to rebuild their old businesses. There's a whole spectrum here of differently impacted businesses, but we've got a range of solutions ready. You know, some of it innovated during COVID, and then obviously now we've added an additional innovation around how we can facilitate and get cash flow out, you know, while we're waiting for insurance. And it's great to be, again, seeing so much collaboration across the sector, insurance, banking, to try and, you know, the volumes of claims that are going to come in here now. No one was really set up for that either. So we're innovating solutions and looking to try and see if we can get relief and certainly shorter-term cash flow just to get shelves restocked, and then the bigger credit decisions around rebuilding, you know, sort of distribution centers and larger shops. Those are a bit more complex, but we're on the ground. Our teams are committed, and we're going to play our part to help to rebuild.
Jacques Salier, Chief Executive of FNB, an uplifting discussion this evening. The damage is done. It's how you recover from it that counts.